Congregation, we have just been able to sing about God, who is the searcher of the hearts. And Him being a searcher of the hearts knows precisely what we think and how we conduct ourselves and what our senses and our feelings are all about. And so the question is asked right at the very start already. How strong is your attachment to Jesus Christ? How strong is your attachment to Jesus Christ? How important is Jesus Christ to you personally? Now, this is something that you will have to answer for yourself as God searches your heart, and that He may know if you are saying and telling the truth. Do you perhaps see Him as one that you need to serve because, well, you want to show due respect to Him because, after all, He is Jesus Christ, and so you do want to serve Him? Or is it something more than that, that you really, really experience your attachment to Him because you love Him and therefore you want to worship Him? And so there's the serving then, which is good, but there's more than that. There's the worshiping of Him because you love Him. Now, what we have here before us is two passages that tell us more about this. You see, congregation, there is a difference between serving someone and worshiping someone, particularly as it pertains to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, yes, it is necessary, of course, for us to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can do that in our love for Him, but serving has become then the main part. And then there's that other part of worshiping Him because you adore Him, you love Him. Well, now, what we have here is a message that I want to explain to you, that there's something more than just serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to reflect on the difference then between serving Jesus and worshiping the Lord Jesus. As we find this, those two Bible passages that we have read together, Luke chapter 10 and John chapter 12, where we have persons that we have met, no doubt, before in the preaching of the word, but there's Martha and Mary and Lazarus, but he stays in the background, Lazarus, but we have Martha and Mary, Martha the server and Mary the worshiper. So as theme for the message this hour, and you've heard it already, Jesus served, worshipped, and befriended. In the first place, a servant Martha shows her limitations. And then secondly, a worshiping Mary shows her love. And then thirdly, a befriending Jesus shows His preference. Our congregation in Luke chapter 10 and also in John chapter 12, we are introduced to a loving Christian family. The family consists, as I said already, of Martha, Mary, and of Lazarus, two sisters and a brother. And they live in the village of Bethany, which is close to the city of Jerusalem. Apparently, it was a favorite visiting place for the Lord Jesus and His disciples. These people, that is, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, these people, they must have been warm, they must have been hospitable, they must have been receptive towards, obviously, their welcome guest, Jesus and His disciples. Now, it is quite striking, also, that Jesus, on the very last Sabbath, before the Passover, that is, the last Sabbath before He would be crucified, that is, the last Sabbath before He was arrested for all of this and death, that He opted to stay at their place, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. That He wanted yet to spend a little bit of time with His dear friends. It seems as if Jesus just needed a short pause yet, that he needed a bit of rest sometime before his great work of sacrificing would begin. And so he spent his time there. And what a better place to spend a Sabbath, isn't it? At the home of Lazarus and his two sisters. Obviously, warm, genuine, biblical religion was practiced there in that home. And there, Jesus, no doubt, must have felt right at home with them. Here's another question. Could Jesus feel at home at your place and in your family circle? Just think of that. Would a Sabbath day at your place be refreshing and relaxing for Jesus and encouraging for Jesus? Or would it be discouraging for him and somewhat uncomfortable for you? And would he not feel himself to be such a welcome guest with you, perhaps? I hope that's not the case, but the question needs to be asked. Because I think we feel it, don't we? We could all use some home improvement in this respect. I know I could. Certainly could use some home improvement there as well. In Bethany, however, there was a place where Jesus felt right at home and where he was always welcome. And yet, there were things even in that home which Jesus wanted to see improved. Take Martha, for instance, and see how she shows her attachment to Jesus Christ. And we read some very impressive things about her, after all, in John chapter 12. The folks in Bethany were ready to welcome Jesus again because we read there they made him a supper. And notice carefully what it says there. And Martha served. No doubt, Martha cooked the food, she prepared the dishes, she set the table, she served the whole meal. And if we read everything very carefully in its context, it was a meal that was served to no less than 16 adults. How so? Well, because it was not only Jesus there, but his 12 disciples as well. And Martha served. But this was really not all that unusual for Martha after all, because you see, when you go back to Luke chapter 10, we read also there that Martha served. And that was her way of serving, her way of doing things for Jesus. She served. In fact, we read there in Luke 10 that Martha was distracted with much serving, and that Jesus indicated to Martha then as well that she was worried and troubled about many things. That's how she served. Now, this was Martha's thing, you see. Certainly, she must have thought highly of Jesus, absolutely. She considered him to be the most welcome guest in her house, and she would do everything to show great carefulness, go through much trouble for Jesus, just to make it comfortable for him. And she did. She did. She served him hand and foot, as it were. She felt it her duty, she felt it her obligation to do so. Now, this is commendable, isn't it? Commendable. This was part of the great talent that she had to cook up some very excellent, great dishes. And that's nothing to sneer at, absolutely not. Martha had this great talent, as many women have that. Many women have that. This great talent to make meals taste delicious. And whenever she had the opportunity, she did her utmost. And that especially for Jesus. And yet, there were limitations to Martha's serving. Not limitations to what she would do, but rather limitations to what Jesus preferred. You see, there was a downside to Martha serving. And we get a glimpse of that already in Luke chapter 10. Martha was an eager server. All right, absolutely. but she had no patience for those who did not quite serve the way she did. And in this respect, Martha had a problem with her sister Mary. Martha felt that if she, Martha, spent time in the kitchen, well, Mary should do the same thing then as well. And in her serving, Martha had therefore become obsessed. We read therefore in Luke 10 and verse 40 that Martha was distracted with much serving. Distracted. Literally, that means that she wasn't seeing things clearly anymore. She had developed a kind of mental block about all of this. Her serving had become an obsession to her. And in her obsession, she felt that everyone should serve as she did and not any less than that. At one point, therefore, Martha even went up to Jesus. And she said to him, and no doubt half annoyed and half dismayed, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." You see, in Martha's mind, the only way to show welcome to Jesus was to serve him. Serving with a high volume of activity. And if she, Martha, could do it, then others should do the exact same thing. Now, dear people, without doubt, Martha was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have proof of that in the Word of God. She confessed this as much as you can read in John 11, verse 27. And it was a sincere confession as well. It was a confession that came right from the bottom of her heart. When Jesus said to her, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Then Martha responded and that with this great confession, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, who is to come into this world." A great confession from Martha. And yet there was something amiss with Martha that was of trouble and that Jesus needed to speak of. There was something which Jesus was not happy about. Her serving, excellent, it was commendable. But in Jesus' eyes, serving the way Martha did had its limitations. And dear people, and here again, we need to examine ourselves as well. We need to examine ourselves in this respect too, you and me. If you are a confessed believer in Jesus Christ, I do not wish to question the sincerity of your faith. The Lord knows. But I ask, how is your welcome, my welcome, of Jesus? Are you too into much serving, into much doing for Jesus, much high volume activity for Jesus? And are you, in doing so, expecting others around you, perhaps your family members or those in the congregation, to do as much serving as you have done or do? And when you notice then that you don't see this on them, do you perhaps get irritated? Perhaps start complaining about it? "These people around me, they've left me to serve all alone. I'm the only one doing anything in this church." Do you perhaps lash out at them directly or indirectly and then to the Lord, "Lord, don't you care that there's others are not doing what I'm doing? Lord, tell them to get up and start serving as well." Martha was distracted with much serving. And dear friends, you and I, we need to watch out for that distraction. You may be on the verge of being distracted by being obsessed with much serving. Now, serving the Lord with your talents is absolutely a very good thing to do, dear people. And serving Jesus by doing things for him, it is commendable. Don't get me wrong. It is commendable. We could use, therefore, more Marthas in our churches and in our congregations, both of the female and of the male kind, can't we? Serving. But do not let it become a contentious issue between you and others. Because then your serving of Jesus has become an obsession, as it did with Martha. And when serving becomes an obsession, you can be sure that it will not be pleasing to the Lord Jesus. Martha therefore receives a mild rebuke from Jesus. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. It was a lesson to a serving Martha from Jesus, showing her limitations. Well, now, let's, in the second place, look at a worshiping Mary who shows her love. In our first Bible passage, Luke chapter 10, we discover Mary, where? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Sitting there, listening to his words. Now, that in itself, no doubt, is already a very touching scene, isn't it? Mary was interested in Jesus for the words that he spoke and for the instructions that he gave. Mary's excitement about Jesus coming into her house had to do with this prospect that of what she could hear from him and what she could learn from him. Mary therefore showed her welcome to Jesus by sitting at his feet and listening to him. Here's another question for each one of us. Have you learned to welcome Jesus in that way already, dear people? Welcome him in your heart and life by, as it were, sitting at his feet and listening to him and learning from him. Doing so, you actually prove that you really, really welcome him, especially in showing your appreciation for what he, Jesus, has to say. It means, therefore, that you are hungry for his word and that you are thirsty for what he, Jesus, can offer you. Are you open? Are we open and eager and willing to be taught by the Lord Jesus, dear people? Is your welcome of the Lord Jesus like a humble submission to his will, his way, and his words, and his teaching? First passage, Luke chapter 10, Martha served, and we're told that Mary worshipped. And while Martha's serving has its limitations, Mary's worship of Jesus proved her love for the Lord Jesus, which is beautifully shown here in our second Bible passage, John chapter 12. The story goes as follows. Jesus and his disciples, they were in Bethany again, and they were surrounded by the same friends. Lazarus was there, sitting or reclining at the table, and as usual, yes, Martha was busy serving, getting supper ready. And what a homey scene that is, isn't it? But now observe Mary for a moment. Let's read it from the Bible, John 12, verse 3. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Now, this was not a spur-of-the-moment thing with Mary. This was premeditated, you see. This was planned, and it was planned already for a long time. Mary must have been saving her pennies for a long time in order to buy this costly spikenard oil. From what we can read further in the Word of God and also in our text passage, the market value of this spikenard oil was 300 denarii, or almost the amount of a year's wages of a working man. Imagine. Now, Mary took this very, very costly and precious spikenard, and she anointed the feet of Jesus. And as this fragrant oil drenched his feet, and no doubt dripped on the bench on which Jesus was reclining, the very fragrance of this spikenard oil filled the house. Mary then proceeded to loosen her hair, and with the tresses of her long hair, she wiped Jesus' feet. No, Mary was not merely serving Jesus. She was busy worshiping Jesus. And nothing was too much, nothing was too costly, nothing was too extravagant for Mary to show Jesus how dearly she loved Jesus. And as I said already, this was not just on the spur of the moment thing with Mary. She must have planned this. She must have thought about this for a long time. She must have saved up for this for a long time. But notice how this started. It all started with Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, humbly and reverently, taking in his words, receiving his instructions. And as he spoke, we know how he spoke, didn't he? He spoke of himself and of his work that he had come to do. And as such, love began to grow in Mary's heart for Jesus and for what he could do. The more she sat at Jesus' feet, the more she heard of his word, the more she began to love him. And dear people, listening to Jesus with a humble heart does stir up love for the Lord Jesus, doesn't it? The words which Jesus speaks are very special words. They are penetrating words. They are powerful words. A humble heart and a willing spirit cannot help but be touched by those words that Jesus speaks. Those words can sometimes do astonishing things in your and in my heart. They can melt a heart of ice. They can break a heart of stone. They can sow seeds of love into it and cause spiritual love to sprout and produce fruit. And as such spiritual love for Jesus grows, it will begin to look for ways to show love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that in return. How can I possibly show my love for Jesus? And so, being stirred by the love of the Lord Jesus, which is made clear to me in his word, then I begin, and as it were, I hope that you agree with that as well, then we begin to think on how we could possibly show our love in return to him. Because the more I hear him speak to me, the more I want to listen to him as well and learn from him, the more my heart grows in love for him as well, the more I want to show my love to him in return. And so here's another question. Do you know something of this as you consider how best to serve and to worship him? After all, the life of a believer zeroes in on these two matters, doesn't it? Serving and worshiping Jesus. And so, are you prepared to serve and to worship Jesus even as Mary learned it? Let Mary be your example. You're my example. Do not consider how much you have been able to do for Jesus. Don't go that way. Do not assess your attachment to Jesus by the amount of service you've been able to show him. Do not hang all of your devotion to Jesus on the abundance of activities that you have involved yourself in. Don't go that route. Don't go that route. Perhaps you have done much for Jesus, much serving, and again, dear people, it is highly commendable. But it may at the same time have been had an irritating edge on it for you because you saw others not serving with such high energies as you could. And if this is the case with you, you need to put such irritation aside. You need to become less obsessed with serving, less distracted in serving, and more focused on what should be the nature of your attachment to the Lord Jesus, that is a worshiping and a loving attachment. Now, how could you acquire a more worshiping attachment to Jesus? Well, first of all, assess your attachment to Jesus, not by what you have done for Jesus, but rather by what Jesus has done for you and for me. You see, by his word and Holy Spirit, he has convicted you of your sin, hasn't he, at one time or another? By his word and Holy Spirit, he has opened the way for you so that you could have your sins forgiven. And he has declared that to you also through the word and through the preaching of the gospel. By his word and spirit, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has shown you the drama of redemption, how he actually paid for your sin. By his word and Holy Spirit, he has led you, in fact, to the cross of Golgotha, where he was lifted up as a sacrifice for sin. How? So that he could draw you to himself. By his word and Holy Spirit, he has awakened a worshiping spirit towards him, and you have learned to embrace him in faith. And that is all because you have been able to sit at his feet, as it were, and hearing his word. After all, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, doesn't it? And so again, the question is, have you already sat at Jesus' feet, as Mary once did? Have you humbly heard his word? Have you learned from those words? Have you focused sufficiently on that one thing that is needed as Jesus spoke it, and that Mary has chosen that good part? Have you done that? Mary served by worshiping Jesus, and by worshiping Jesus, she showed her love for Jesus. Well, let us see how Jesus reacts then to all of this by my third heading. A befriending Jesus shows his preference. Now, Jesus remained friendly towards both Mary and also to Martha. He stayed friendly towards both. But his preference was clearly towards Mary's loving worship of him. Mary, or rather, Martha received a friendly caution word. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But Mary received no caution words whatsoever, no rebukes. Instead, she received the full backing of Jesus in her sitting at his feet and in her show of love by anointing Jesus' feet with some costly spikenard oil. In fact, Jesus even took it up for Mary in the face of Judas Iscariot, his stingy disciple, and he said to him, "Let her alone. She kept this for the day of my burial." That it was a waste of money to have all this costly spikenard oil poured on the feet of Jesus. But Judas was strongly rebuked by Jesus. "Let her alone. Leave her alone." Jesus clearly preferred and clearly approved of the way that Mary worshipped him. And she worshipped him by showing her love for him. Jesus clearly preferred and approved of the way Mary worshipped him. And that is important for you and me to remember. He allowed no one to criticize it. Now today the word is heard again. The word about Jesus. And the word from Jesus and from his Holy Spirit. It comes by way of the preaching of the gospel. And is Jesus and is his word a welcome guest with you? What is your attachment to him? You too may have done much serving for him. And again, I am not minimizing serving the Lord with your talents and with your gifts at home, at work, in the church. It is a blessing to be able to serve him, to be sure. He is worthy of all the serving that we can give him. But I might ask, has your attachment to him developed beyond the need to serve him into a love to worship him? Are you willing to give him all that you have in order to show your love for him? Are you willing to show him your worshiping spirit? Are you willing to show him the consequence of your love for Jesus? Are you willing to share that love, not only towards the Lord Jesus, but also towards your neighbor and towards your enemy? After all, this is what Jesus once said, didn't he? Love God above all. Love your neighbors yourself. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. That's love, isn't it? And it pours forth from the heart of the Lord Jesus into your heart. I would say this is a friendly reminder of the Lord Jesus, isn't it, for us today? Serving Martha is good, but a loving Mary is preferred, as Jesus, in a friendly way, took it up for Mary. And so, let us take time, dear friends, let us take time to sit at the feet of Jesus, to hear his words and to learn from him, to meditate on him and what he has done, and to have our love deepened for him. And whenever you are then called to show your love for him, do so as Mary did. Worship as Mary did. She worshiped Jesus because of her love for him. And Jesus confirmed this as well when he said, Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Remember, a worshiping Mary went up to him where he could be found, and she sat at his feet. A worshiping Mary and a serving Martha. And you and I, by now, I trust, know what Jesus prefers. Amen.